Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Good morning, everybody. 9 minutes after 9 o'clock. I'm Andy Griffin. This is the Andy Griffin Show. We're here every day, 9 to 10. Thank you for tuning in. I've got special guests on today. Ben Gottfredson is here. Hi, Ben. How you doing, man?
What a treat, man. Thanks for having me on.
I appreciate you coming here. Now, I wanted to, I talked, Mello kind of arranged, Melody Finlinson, who's a producer of the show, and she kind of helped arrange this. But Ben, I told you as we were getting ready here, I said, you know, I'm a big believer in the American dream, you know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that if you work hard and do what's right, and, you know, okay, some people think once something's right, but if you work hard and you're honest and you try to do what's right, you can succeed. And Ben, you are the living embodiment of that, man.
You're too kind. We go way back to the high school football, basketball days. That's when me and you first connected.
That's right.
And come a long way since then. But it's those same hard work principles that we could talk about that we're still working on today.
Well, let's go back. Okay, let's go back in time then. It was, did you graduate in 2012, was it?
Yep, 2012. Good memory.
Snow Canyon High School football and basketball player. And Ben was, I apologize, I didn't remember your position exactly, but you were, I guess, an undersized D lineman, huh?
Yeah, left tackle, if you can imagine. Definitely didn't have the size for it, but kind of that's where the team needed me. I probably should have been playing tight end, but maybe more like a better fit for my build.
Yeah.
But the team needed a left tackle, and, you know, I really cared about just the team and wanting to win, and I feel like that decision, you know, I didn't really realize how much that affected me, just learning to kind of be a team player, but that carries with you, you know, so.
You know, and that's another thing that I buy into. You know, I'm a former athlete, and the things you learn, and it's not just sports, but, you know, maybe you're on a debate team, or maybe you're in the band or the choir, whatever. The things you learn about setting goals, about sacrificing what you want the most for the betterment of the team, that's stuff that sticks with you, isn't it?
It really is. Carries on in everything else you do in life.
Ben now owns a Big Ben's Moving and Storage and some other stuff, too. We'll talk about that as we progress now. But let's talk a little bit about, okay, high school. You graduated Snow Canyon. You actually played some football, right, at Dixie State at the time?
When we were D2, got good experience, had the local coach Brumfield, who was my first coach. And then those guys from California, Coach Mack and Coach Howe, came in. And, man, I wish I had a camera on, because it was like a reality TV show of just how hard they pushed us. You know, I'm the type of guy, I really like to be coached hard, pushed hard, yelled at. And we got a lot of that. It was fun.
There's a lot of people your age even that don't like that. That, you know, you push them and you get on their cases, they kind of go, all right, they shut down. They're done. Why do you think that is? And you know, as you talk about that, it motivates you, but some people it doesn't.
I think the great ones like to be coached. I think it's just a mindset. If you have that abundance mindset of I can grow, I can get better, you seek the coaching, where sometimes if you feel like your talent or where you're going is fixed, you kind of shy away from it. And yeah, I think, you know, lots of the locals see a change in character with the generation. And I think, you know, there's still really good kids and really good young people that seek that hard work, that there's just less of them.
I agree. Not long after high school, Ben went on an LDS church mission. I guess we don't call it LDS, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints mission, to Orlando, Florida. Well, I think one of the underrated aspects, and I was talking with Jimmy Keston about this, who is not LDS, but I was talking about this yesterday, about one of the things you learn as a missionary. Of course, you learn the stuff we were just talking about, goal setting and things like that, and sacrificing. But one of the things you learn is how to deal with different personalities, different people who were raised different ways. And in my case, I actually had a companion on my mission who was from Finland.
Okay.
So I learned about how to deal with different cultures and languages. And I mean, that's one of the underrated things about going on a mission. I imagine you experienced that a little bit.
Yeah, you get so much out of that experience. A couple things I could highlight would be you learn to communicate. Mm. Because if you're the type of person that's going to stick with a church service mission, you really believe in the message, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you believe in that, you want so bad to communicate that to other people,
right,
that you're going to think and practice your communication skills. That's something that will carry with you in life. Another thing you learn is in sports, but in a mission, is you get kicked in the teeth. You get rejected, right? And how do you bounce back, right? Like I think of a good metaphor is like a heavyweight boxing match, right? The best boxers are not the people that can throw the best one punch. They're the people that can take punches, get back up,
right?
You know, that, and you get a little bit of that on a mission. It's not for the faint of heart, right?
My friend Jimmy Keston, I was talking with him yesterday after the show, and he said, you know, in my youth, I worked at a used car dealership in Las Vegas. And he said, it's funny, when we would get applications in, if somewhere on the application it alluded to them having served a mission, he said it was an automatic hire. We would hire that person. He said, but the owner of the car dealership was not Mormon. He was not LDS. He just said that every return missionary that has had work for him is a guy that had that resilience that you're talking about, that knew that if you got no for an answer, you didn't just give up. No. So, yeah, you know, kudos to you for serving down there in Orlando.
Well, there are missions that I should clarify. There are missions that are far harder than mine. Mine was probably right in the middle of the line. I thought it was a perfect experience, but you know, if you do it right, you're going to challenge yourself, even if bad things don't always happen to you.
Did you ever run into alligators while you were down there?
You know, I did.
You did?
There was one time that I had an alligator with his paws were kind of, you know, his claws were kind of like crooked. So I thought maybe this alligator is dead, but I was still nervous.
Uh-huh.
So I snuck up on the alligator. Couldn't see it breathing.
Now, on the list of things to not do in life, sneaking up on an alligator seems like a bad... It seemed like that would make the list.
I couldn't see if it was breathing. I could see that the claws were not... You know, it was definitely not in like... It was napping, basically. Okay. But I snuck up on it, and I kicked the tail, and it whipped around and started hissing at me, and I screamed like a little girl. I'm running away, slipping, that's my story with the alligator.
All right, so you get back from your mission and the alligator experience.
Yeah.
And you get home. What's the plan when you get... Most of us... I remember when I got home from my mission. My plan, I basically had two things in mind. Find a wife. That was important to me. And number two, figure out what I'm going to do with my life. I really wasn't sure at that point.
Well, you learn a couple things, right? So, yes... I will say, while I was in college, you're really just trying to stay above water,
right?
Or trying to keep your head above water, I should say. You're just trying to pass class. You're trying to have a little bit of a social life, play football. So there was really no space in my life for like a full-time job. So naturally, I had to find another way to work. And this was the same in high school. To back up a little bit, we had the local rest home in town, the Meadows. My grandma was the marketing director there.
Okay.
And her issue was she had all these people that she sold on the rest home that she loved, and she wanted them to be taken care of. And she would have movers, and she would find she was dissatisfied. The movers would either be, you know, way too big and corporate and expensive, or maybe shady, you know, like, so she basically said to me and my parents, like, hey, I want you to come move and you'll get paid for it, but I just need someone I can really trust.
So you're the strapping young man. Did you have a truck at the time?
We had a pickup truck, and we borrowed, I don't know if you know John Graff, we borrowed his 12-foot trailer.
Okay.
If we needed to.
Just so a little flatbed thing?
Just a little 12-foot cargo trailer.
Cargo trailer, okay.
And, you know, we kind of bootstrapped this business.
Mm-hmm.
And it started in high school, took a break, and then in college. And, you know, we got back into it. And when I was, you know, learned a lot from the mission, learned a lot from football, and I'm starting to get pretty good at moving people, where I'd move people into the rest homes and then their kids would call me and say, hey, you did such a good job on my parents moving to the rest home. Can you move my full house? I'm like, sure, okay. Yeah. You know? So I really didn't have a traditional experience of ever working for a moving company. So I feel like in some ways, like, I took the long way because I had to learn everything from scratch.
Right.
But in other ways, I never thought, like, I have to do things the way that another moving company does it. I came up with like a very intuitive, customer tailored approach because I was just making it up as I went, mm-hmm. and I wanted to make it make sense for the customer. So that's a little bit of like how it had its infancy.
So when I was in high school, my buddy had a big old Chevy pickup or GM pickup or whatever it was. And my dad was a bishop. And so if anybody in the ward, and back then it was a big ward, anybody needed to be moved, it was like, hey, call Melvin and Andy and his pickup, and they would move stuff. I never, though, Ben, like you, I never really dreamed that I could make money at it, that I could make it work into a business. How did that transition work for you? Were you also, hey, they're giving me money, this is cool, or how did that work?
Yeah, I mean, I finished college, which, you know, we could talk about the controversies of traditional education, but I did finish. At this time, the moving company is growing exponentially. Like, we can't hardly keep up with it.
Really? Wow.
Just because, you know, it's very simple. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. You just have to do a good job.
Yeah.
People keep calling. They tell people about you. It's hard to find a good mover. So it's just very simple stuff. But I still had, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm like, oh, I never wanted to grow up and be a mover. Right. So I actually got a corporate job at a tech company. And I did have that tech, like, opportunity to see what corporate life is like. And it did not last too long. I stuck it out for a little while just to see what experience I could gain. But I'm like, I'm learning more on my own. Just the school of hard knocks. I love entrepreneurship. And I quit and doubled down on the moving company.
So you decided maybe that life isn't necessarily for me, that way of life, the tech life.
The corporate life,
corporate
right?
Life,
like,
yeah.
Like, you know, having a ceiling and having a certain amount of time you have to take to progress. Like, you know, I'm out there. The free market's ready. We could go right now and build something great. There's people needing this service. So that's how it
very cool.
came to be.
At that point, you're facing a crossroads. Now, are you married yet at that point?
No.
Not married yeah. yet. Okay. You're facing a crossroads and you're like, all right, I think I want, did the moving business at that point, was it on hold or was it still going part time or how did that work?
Good question. Well, I was in college, you know, I would do Tuesday, Thursday classes and Wednesday night classes. So I would be able to go on the jobs Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. But then we got so busy and I had some really good friends I trust that really I owe a lot to that they would cover the Tuesday, Thursday while I was in school. Hmm. So when I graduated, I would go to my corporate job from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And on my lunch break and right after work, I would call all the customers back. So I would end up working doing callbacks till 8 or 9. So I kept it on hold for a little while, still kept the moving company running. And eventually it just way too obvious to stick with the moving company.
At what point did you say, okay, we've got to invest financially in this, buy a big truck or several trucks and you know, get all the other stuff you need to make moving successful?
Well, I really bootstrapped it. You know, like I bought this old U-Haul. I think it was a 1999.
Okay.
And I ended up, you know, I'll just tell you the full story. I bought it for $3,000. I think I put a new motor in it for $3,000 more.
Okay.
And then I ended up running with it, and that truck was by far the most profitable. And since then, we've bought a little bit newer trucks. But when you fully commit and put your head down, like a lot of people think, we talked about hard work at the beginning. Yeah. You know, a lot of people think that you can really create something big and get wealthy in a short amount of time really takes 4 or 5 years of putting your head down and committing.
Yeah.
That's what we did, is we bought the truck, and then we would buy a little bit newer truck when we had the bandwidth and the budget. But I never took on any debt for this business until the storage facility. We just kind of got rented equipment, bought a little bit newer truck, until we got to where we are.
That is really cool, especially the idea that, I mean, it's dripping with, if I work hard and do what's right, it's going to work. And I think today we get so, I don't know, there's this feeling of, well, the American dream is dead, and that doesn't work anymore, and you can't succeed that way. But I mean, you're showing it, you know, hard work, perseverance. You weren't married. That helped a little bit there for the first little while when you're working all those hours. And you were able to make it succeed. Tell us about Big Ben's Moving and Storage right now, and what else you have going on.
So, you know, fast forward, we've really got a lot of good people involved. And what I've realized is we want to go big, and I'm not ashamed. You know, I used to be shy about saying how big I wanted this to be. Mm-hmm. We do want to build an empire. We want to build something great. And what I've realized as I've hired people, brought people in, cut people in, your dream has to be so big that you can fit other people's dream inside of it.
Wow.
Right? So yeah. You can't play small if you want to help other people carve out a real career. You have to go big.
Right.
So I read the book Traction, which is a really good book about execution. And we've started scaling the business. Now we have, we have a CFO, a CEO, and I actually hired my mom.
All right.
As she was best hire ever. If anyone's trying to do a business, hire your mom. She was working at the college, and I gave her a nice raise and some flexibility and brought her in as one of our executives.
Wow.
So we've been scaling this company. Today we serve all of Utah. So we have branches up north in Cedar, and we do local work in Utah, and we do cross country work all over the country. We could get into like what sets us apart is our world-class team and our customer-facing experience. So we really don't have better trucks or equipment than anybody else, but we really focus on the person that we're going to send to do the actual move is a class act. They're someone that we've trained in-house. And when we go cross-country, a lot of people cut corners and broker out the job. We send our Utah-trained guys all the way out. So that's on the moving side. We're never going to lose that focus. We've got into storage as well. On the storage side, I was getting a lot of calls for moving, and people would say, "Can you do our move? We've heard good things about you." I said, "Yeah, of course." "Well, can you do our storage?" "No, you know, we gotta pass you off." And we love the other storage facilities in town. Great businesses, but there's something nice about keeping it in house. So that was our next challenge was, How do you break through that barrier to entry of commercial real estate and start a storage facility?
Yeah, but you did it. How did you do it?
Well, I did it probably the wrong way because I didn't know, hey, why don't you look for a business partner? Why don't you get some coaching, right? Now, the first deal, I really pounded my head into the wall. Like just I went from bank to bank to bank, went to every bank in town. And I went to three bankers at the same bank before I got a yes. You know, they're just saying, well, you don't have enough good books because the business was doing good. But it's like, you got 1 year of good books. That's not enough. We need three. I don't have three. I want to do this now.
Yeah.
So a lot of rejection, a lot of just, learning on the go and taking the feedback one bank would give to me and then going and showing that to the next bank. So we got our first facility on River Road in the Fort Pierce area. That was just mine. I did on my own. And then after that, I'm thinking to myself, well, I could do one of these every 3 years, just the same way, or I could have the abundance mindset and have business partners, let other people come own these storage units with me and put together a series of deals every year. And so every deal since then, we've invited people to come be partners with us. And we have five facilities from St. George to Salt Lake. And we have some dirt in Mesquite we're going to build on. And then we even have one in Tennessee that we came across a good deal out there. So
wow,
that's the state of the union as far as storage goes.
Talk about, if you will, for a minute, Ben, about fear. You're talking about dreaming big and you want to make this thing gigantic and you know, an empire, I think is the word you even used.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff can get scary. I mean, the road is littered with, you know, people who dreamt big and fell off the wayside because they didn't make it. Talk about the fear of doing that, because I want to have a successful business is a little scary, but I want to have a successful empire. I want to employ other people. I want their dreams to fit inside my that's a little bit scary.
It is. And me, you know, my wife turned me on to this book called Mindset. And it's a great book I recommend. And the idea is that if you admit out loud that you want to try your best, mm-hmm. then you risk embarrassment. You risk failure, yeah. right? And so I think it's being okay with failure, being okay with maybe not reaching your dreams or not reaching them in the timeline you hope, and not worrying about what other people will say, right? Mm. So this whole idea of a growth mindset is, you know, take pickup basketball, right? Yeah. If I'm not trying hard, I'm not embarrassed if I lose. If I'm trying my best at pickup basketball, then I have something on the line,
yeah.
right? It's like I was really trying my best and I lost. That's a little bit harder to swallow than, yeah, I wasn't going my hardest. So it doesn't matter that I lost. But if you can kind of get in that mindset and everything at life, like, yeah, I am going to try my hardest. I'm going to try to build an empire. Then you let go of that, like, limiting belief that you can't do something and you're not trying your hardest, and you open yourself up to maybe you'll fail, but maybe you'll succeed too.
Failure, you're right, can be embarrassing. It can be, you know, if you stick yourself out there, if you put yourself out there
yeah.
and then you fail, you're like, you know, that, and I think we've all done it. It's happened, but I hearken back to the history of sports, of being a missionary, of all these experiences. You learn, okay, I am going to fail. Everyone fails occasionally.
Yeah. Yep.
It happens. What are you going to do after you fail, right?
Can you get back up?
Yeah.
It's like the heavyweight fight, right?
Yeah.
Can you take punch and get back up? It applies to everything.
All right. We got a commercial break. We got to get in here. We're talking with Ben Gottfredson from Big Ben's Moving and Storage. With, to me, it's just a local kid makes good. Local kid succeeds. I love it. And he's dreaming big. Someday, Big Ben's going to be advertising in the Super Bowl, right?
Let's do it.
All right, we'll get a commercial break. And when we come back, I want to talk to him a little bit about employees. You have a track record of having happy employees that, and you said yourself, that's part of really having a good business is having employees who are trained right and who are, I don't know, good people who do the right thing. And that's important. We'll talk about that when we come back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Hi, I'm Andy, 935 on KDXU. We're talking with Ben Gottfredson, and I guess I should ask about that. How often do you have to tell people how to say your name, Ben?
I just say it's phonetic, guys. It's 11 letters.
It really is.
You can just sound it out.
Gottfredson.
It's easy.
That's not hard. Right. And yet people look at a big 11-letter name and go, I can't say that.
Yeah. Just slow down, sound it out, right?
Well, thanks again, Ben, for coming on today. Really appreciate you. Like I said early in the show, I feel like the American dream is still alive, and you're proving that it works. If you work hard and you don't take no for an answer sometimes. I've been married for 35 years now, and for me, that was the biggest success story. I wouldn't take – my wife told me no so many times that it took me almost a year and a half before she finally married me. So
that's persistence.
Yeah, I didn't give up. Thank goodness. Best thing that ever happened to me. So
love it.
Ben is a dad now. You have a daughter, right? And then a son on the way?
Oh, yeah.
How cool is that?
That's what it's all about, man.
Yeah. How cool is that? Due in June. That's very cool. Does he have a name already?
You know, me and my wife have this debate.
Ah.
I kind of, my other best friend, his name is Ben too.
Okay.
So I'm like, you know, between the both of us, we should name him Ben. It's served me well. It's been a good name for me. And my wife, she really doesn't want another Ben.
No more Bens.
She wants to name him Bryson. I always pictured twins, Benjamin and Bryson, but we're still duking it out. We're at a stalemate. Okay. So stay tuned.
Sometimes you have to wait till you see the child's face before you really know what their name should be.
Yeah.
We had our daughter, our youngest daughter, we weren't sure until she was born. And as soon as we saw, we're like, okay, that's Holly. And we knew. Just knew. And, of course, she was born close to Christmas. That helps, too. But I have a Bryce, but not a Bryson. So, good name. Good name. I endorse that.
I
have a brother-in-law named Ben. Good guy.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I like that name. His name is Benjamin. I don't know if you're a Benjamin.
I am.
He hates Benjamin. He loves Ben. He hates Benjamin.
Can we take an audience poll?
Yeah.
Maybe I could show it to my wife, and maybe if we have a caller. Just kidding.
We can vote. Just text me at 467-5842. Ben or Bryson, right?
Yeah.
So, Ben, one of the things that I wanted to talk about it, and a friend of mine that comes on the show, Jack Lancaster, talks about employees and how much you pay them. And he says, I have a real problem with the federal minimum wage, because honestly, the contract between you and employee should be a contract between you and an employee, and the government should have not have any say. You pay what is fair market value. Talk about that as a boss and on how you decide what to pay people, how that works. I mean, is there a scale you use? How does that work?
You brought up the pay piece, right? And so my philosophy, put simply, is we're always going to have a training wage that's higher than the competition.
Okay.
And we're going to have a ceiling higher than the competition. So basically, we're going to have the best talent. And what it's done is, yes, we pay more in payroll, but we pay less in, retaining people, we pay less in recruitment, we pay less in all of these things, and we have the benefit of keeping guys longer and keeping our customers happier. So that's one simple thing that we've always included.
Makes sense. How many employees, how many people work for Ben's Moving and Storage right now?
Oh, between the moving and the storage, probably about 40.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. And one thing I've learned is, With team members, you always want to pick your battles, right? So you can't get far if you are going to be hard on every single thing. But if you let the little stuff go and you give a little bit, they respect when you speak up and stand up for something.
Nice.
That's
one thing. By the way, so far, two votes for Ben, one for Bryson.
Oh.
I will add, the vote for Bryson was by a guy named Bryson.
Oh.
So a little bit jaded there. Also, I got this text. Ben, you moved my mother when you were first getting started. You and your guys were affordable, on time, and courteous. Happy to know about your success. You deserve it. Thank you.
Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, that's cool. Really too nice.
They didn't give me a name, though, but that's pretty cool.
That's really sweet.
Pretty cool. But is it hard to do business the right way in the modern world? I mean, we've talked about, the way you treat your employees and being upfront and honest and being, I don't know if necessarily clean cut, but people that are there, that are courteous, that do their job the right way. Is it hard to do that in 2024?
Well, there's two pieces. I mean, I think we're blessed in Utah to have a great community with great values, right? Like, whether, I mean, in or out of the church, that we have great people here. And so I have the benefit of calling upon those young people that do have those core values that they share them with me. So that's the beauty of living here, is you can assemble a team with good values. As far as just general business, you know, I think it's just sticking with what you believe is to be right, right? Like, the more you do business, the more you're going to get into, hiccups, right? Like, we've gone through this whole process that's it's been painful of getting compliant, getting 100% set up on insurance with the DOT, with everything, workers comp, like all this stuff that when you're starting out, it's really tempting to not do those things, but we're committed to the long term and mm-hmm. we need all that stuff in place. But, you know, we had this crazy story where we had these, my best driver, my highest paid guy, he hit a windstorm in Nevada, and the truck, thank heavens, it was empty, it blew over. Just an act of God.
Yeah.
And now the insurance company doesn't want to pay for it. And in that moment, you're like, why am I doing all this stuff right when now I have to literally sue my insurance company?
Right.
So there's little moments like that where you have those, like a real vulnerable experience of just like, man, why is it worth it? But it comes back to, hey, we're going to do things our way and let the chips fall where they may. And you stick with doing business right.
It's tough when you do things the right way. Actually reminded me back of my missionary days. You do everything that you think is the right way to do it and you still get rejected. And and then you kind of shake your fist up at the sky. And you go, why? What did I do? I did everything right. I'm doing what I'm supposed to and it didn't work. Why?
Yeah. But you know that in the long run it will. And that's the test, right? Like you could bring up a spiritual piece of this, right? Like if blessings came immediately, like a vending machine, to every time someone did someone good, they immediately got the blessing. Mm. And if consequences came when people did bad stuff right away, like immediately after you do something bad, lightning strike.
Punish, yeah.
It's like there would be this life wouldn't pull greatness out of us. Like we wouldn't be able to prove to ourselves and to God, like, who we really are when the chips are down. So, you know, that's a little bit of a tangent on a spiritual side, but you can't just expect good things to always come when you're doing the right thing. And just like we see people that do bad things get away with it, right? Sometimes those consequences have a delay, and that's what makes this life so good for us, and it helps us become something.
Well said. He's Ben Godfredson. We're going to take another commercial break. When we come back, we'll talk more about employees, about raising a business, about the future of Ben's Moving and Storage when we come back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back, 9:47 on KDXU. Ben Godfredson is with me here on the Andy Griffin Show. And Ben and I got to know years ago. I was doing radio, I think, and was I writing for a newspaper entity at that time?
I know you were doing something with sports.
Yeah. And I did many a Snow Canyon game that Ben participated in, both in football and in basketball. And I got to know Jay Graft, who was your head coach at the time, and probably James Brown, I'm guessing,
yes,
in
for
basketball.
Sure.
James and I are old buddies now, and good times, good memories, right?
Pineview alumni, huh? You went to Pineview.
I didn't go to Pineview.
Kids went to Pineview.
No, kids went to Pineview. I actually was in northern Utah when I went to high school. I think James went to Pineview, though.
Yes, he did. One of the first ones, I think.
So... the experience of being a high school athlete, obviously everyone can't. I mean, you know, in basketball, we're talking about, you know, if you have a graduating class, your graduating class was probably, what, 300 maybe, something, 250, 300. And, you know, if you count juniors and sophomores, then you're talking about, you know, probably somewhere in the neighborhood of maybe 300 or 400 guys trying to make the varsity team. So, and in basketball, you have, you know, 12 make varsity basically. and so it's not for everyone, and everyone doesn't have the great opportunity that you and I had to play some varsity sports, but, it doesn't mean they didn't have an opportunity if you didn't make the team to learn, to do something. Maybe you, like I said, maybe you're in the choir or orchestra or debate team or drama or whatever. I know Stockton over there, he was big time into drama.
Yeah.
But you learn so many things from these opportunities, and you know, things like goal setting. Now, do you have at Ben's Movie and Stories? Do you have like goals written down? Goal: we want to accomplish the X amount of whatever. And is that part of what you do?
Oh yeah, I mean this is one of the biggest differences that we've made in the last year is setting goals. One thing that we had goals for our executives, and then we decided, okay, we're going to have everybody in the company is going to have a goal and a role. So we don't just have movers anymore. Now everyone has an assignment, whether you're the county field general or a captain or someone in training, right? Like everyone has a goal, a role, and then everyone has a number goal, right? Maybe we do quality assurance calls. I want to get, you know, every single customer giving me positive remarks or X amount of 5-star reviews this month, right? So we're measuring it, and like, you know, things that are measured are improved.
Right, right, for sure. I think about that. I think, you know, a lot of times when you have a role, you say, well, I want to make my goal, but this person here and this person here that I depend on to get whatever it is I'm trying to make my goal, they're not pulling their weight. And that kind of goes into the whole team concept, right?
Yeah.
And you learn about this in sports. You learn about this in other opportunities in life. That sometimes you can't do it all by yourself. You need help.
Yeah. I mean, if you have a big dream, if you don't have a dream, if all your dreams you can do all on your own, it's too small. I mean, you gotta have help. You gotta have a team if you really want to go far.
That's a good point.
Yeah,
and don't even really think about that, but you're absolutely right. In radio, for instance, on this show, if I didn't have a sales staff over there selling ads for this show, I wouldn't have a show.
Oh yeah, you know? You got a 3-story building here full of people working.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So, again, we're talking with Ben Godfredson, who went to Snow Canyon High School, was a basketball and football player at Snow Canyon. After high school, went on a mission out in Florida. I imagine it was pretty sticky and hot there in the summer.
Oh, nasty. Yeah.
Yeah. So I went to Philadelphia, so I was up the coast from you, but it was still sticky and hot during the summer.
A lot of baby powder in the summer, right?
Yeah, I used to go home and... My white shirt would be soaking wet, so we'd go home at lunchtime and put a new white shirt.
Every day in the afternoon it rains, and then it gets hot, so it's just like it's an oven cooking you every day.
All right, let's talk about, for a minute, you mentioned mom, great hire for you. Talk about parenting a little bit for you. How important was parenting in getting you to where you're at right now?
You know, I feel very spoiled with my parents.
One big thing I'm very grateful for my parents, I got taught very good work ethic.
Absolutely. Yeah,
good text.
Yeah, no, my parents, they poured into me. And it's funny, we just left, we did our little baby moon. We have a storage facility in Tennessee, and my in-laws had never been to Nashville. So we left our daughter for one last time in a long time with my parents.
Wow.
And I just, you know, I just watch my parents pour into now their granddaughter. And it reminds me of the way that they poured into me. You know, like they really gave me everything. And you know, they taught me hard work. My dad, he never asked for anything. He just puts his head down. He's a clean living guy. My mom's the same way. She's always looking for ways to serve and pour into us. And even now in my adulthood, she's still on the team, right? So for me as a parent, I have no greater goal than this idea of multi-generational conversion, or the idea of having your grandkids live by the same values and see the world through the same lens you do. And that's my big goal. My kids are, I mean, I have an 18-month-old and a baby boy on the way, but I already have my biggest goal in life is to raise them in a way that they get a pass on our legacy, right? That's how I think you measure your life.
I think one of the trends, unfortunately, in raising kids nowadays is to try to do everything for them, though. And so when, as you're saying that, I also detect that you've got to let them fail sometimes. You've got to let them try things. And so many, and I see a little bit with my own grandkids, you know, my number two son, where he doesn't want to let them fail. He wants to make everything okay and fix everything for him all the time. And sometimes I just sit back as a grandparent. And as a grandparent, it's a unique juxtaposition because yeah. You can't really overrule mom and dad, right?
Right.
You have to watch. But sometimes I'm like, man, just it's okay if they fall down and get dirty. You know, you don't have to run over, pick them up, buy them a candy and take them to the store and tell them I'm going to make everything better. Sometimes you say, you know, dust yourself off, and if you hadn't done that stupid thing in the first place that I told you not to do, then that wouldn't happen, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, that's the challenge of life, right, is that balance, right? Yeah. You hope to be able to have something to give to your kids, but you don't want to give them too much that you ruin them either. So I think that I'm looking forward to that challenge and that walking that fine line of putting them in a position to grow, but also giving them opportunities at the same time.
Yeah, good point. All right, let's talk future now for Ben's Moving and Storage. You mentioned you are dreaming big. You don't want to just be the best mover in St. George or Washington County. It's bigger than that for you. Tell me about it.
Yeah, I think when you get back to, you know, this is a great vehicle. This is an in-demand vehicle, moving and storage, mm-hmm. right? But what is our true why? And I think it's helping taking that burden off of your customer. And I think you can never take your eye off that. We have a little motto, call it corny or cliche, but it's, we lift more than your furniture, we lift your family.
Nice.
So even though we have all these exciting, you know, we have Big Storage Ventures, which I'll talk about in a minute, but we're never going to take our eye off the ball, which is the customer experience, right? Because that's like your foundation. If you ever take your eye off that, the tower collapses. So that's always going to be our first and foremost priority, is providing that excellent service. And we are expanding to areas like Cedar, Utah County, Salt Lake County, Mesquite for local jobs. But our real goal is our goal is much less ambitious. We try to grow by about 30% a year on the moving side.
Wow.
But it could be bigger, but we want to keep the quality high. And so that's why it's at that number. On the storage side, you know, we're really approachable. A lot of people want to own storage units, but they never, you know, they don't have the bandwidth or the experience to get through. So what we're doing with that is we're inviting people to partner with us on these storage facilities and have all the benefits. And so
nice.
People can now, you know, partner and have the cash flow, the tax benefits, the equity appreciation that we get. And we're just, you know, I love commercial real estate. I feel like, yeah, it's kind of boring and nerdy, but on the flip side, it's a vehicle that can provide a lot of freedom to do a lot of good.
I have a buddy who owns Farmstead Bakery here in town.
Okay.
And he said, you know, he did a survey at what's most important to you when you go to a restaurant. And he listed several. Is it clean? How does the food taste, et cetera, et cetera. He said the number one thing that came up over and over again was, how was the customer experience? And you were just talking about that. It's so important for people to feel like, even if something costs more, if they feel like they got a good value and were treated right, that's what matters.
Absolutely. That's all it is right there.
Got 2 minutes left. I know you wanted to talk about, what was it, Big Adventure?
Oh, Big Store Adventures. That's
Big
just
Store Adventures.
That's a storage arm, right? So
okay.
With 2 minutes left, I mean, one thing that I like to be really approachable, if there's anyone listening that wants to talk about entrepreneurship or self-storage specifically, like, we love to do it. You know, we have the experience now where we have a good resume, but we're not so big that we don't take calls and talk to people about their goals and what they're working on. We have so you can follow us on Instagram, Big Storage Ventures, Big Ben's Moving and Storage for the local service page.
Okay.
And then we have the Beyond Net Worth podcast that we bring local entrepreneurs on that you know, they've not just succeeded in business, but in life and being a good person too.
That's important. I think, and I'm with you on that one, because I know enough people that have succeeded in business or whatever, but their personal life is fallen by the way. I mean, the sports broadcasting field, that I have been in for 30 years is full of people who gave up their personal life.
It's cutthroat.
To succeed professionally. And congratulations, they succeeded professionally. Now, what's your personal life like? They're on their third wife, you know, and they have kids with four different women. And they, you know, it just, you know, to me, it's just, it's not worth it. So.
Well, thank you for doing what you do and sticking with that personal fighting the good fight first.
Yeah, appreciate you coming on, Ben. I wish you the best of luck with Big Ben's movie and storage. As far as the story, tell me again. My brain.
The Big Store Adventure.
Big
piece,
Store,
yeah.
Venture or Edbit?
It's ventures for people that want to own storage units.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if I wanted to do that, I would just maybe try to get a hold of you and through social media or whatever.
Yeah,
and,
if you're an emailer.
This isn't someone that wants a storage spot to put stuff in. This is someone that's actually interested in owning a storage unit.
Well, it's been such a great asset class. On the customer side, if you're looking for a storage unit or a moving service, Big Ben's Moving and Storage, if you're someone who wants to own storage units, it's Big Storage Ventures. And bigstorageventures@gmail.com is the email, or you could just message us on Instagram, Big Storage Ventures.
He's Ben Godfredson, Big Ben's Moving and Storage. Thank you, Ben.
It's a pleasure. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me, Andy.
We're out of time. I'll be back tomorrow. Tomorrow's Wednesday. I know we have, I can't remember. There's something.